Hello, and welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly. I'm a self-love expert, an intuitive healer, and also your hostess for this podcast. You are about to hear inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence, maintaining self-love, and sanity as we answer the calling of being a healer and running a business. I would really appreciate it if you could help me grow this podcast by telling others about it and by becoming a patron by donating monthly or giving a generous one-time donation. When you donate, it lets me know that you love what I'm doing, and by donating, you are supporting me, a healer running a small business. You can find the PayPal link on theconfidenthealer.net and in every show note. So thank you so much for being here, and let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Molly, and today I'm so excited. I have a serene and gorgeous soul. She's a self-mastery mentor, certified Reiki master, and host of Reiki Radio Podcast, which is in its ninth year. So congratulations to that, to you. She uses a blend of techniques to help clients and students achieve deeper connections with themselves, which facilitates new levels of self-awakening and reveals the dynamics of mind, body, and energy. Her methods have helped Reiki practitioners globally, and she is currently authoring an oracle deck to highlight your connection, relationship, and understanding of what it means to be an authentic expression of true nature. She trained with internationally recognized Reiki masters in the lineages of Usui Reiki Ryoho and Jikiden Reiki. She also trained with shamans and healers of various modalities, increasing her intuitive abilities and exploration of transformative self-observation. Her classes include Usui Reiki Ryoho All Levels in San Diego, California, as well as mentoring and intuitive awakening courses online. So please welcome with a big warm hug to the Confident Healer Podcast, Yolanda Williams.
Thank you. I love the name of your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I named it that because I wanted to explore the confidence that it takes for choosing this and transitioning, because most of us transition from one career to this, and then to healing, esoteric healing. I'm going to call it esoteric healing. And it's not in mainstream. And also because I had such, I just had really low self-confidence and self-esteem when it came to marketing myself. Like, how do I put myself out there? Like, you know, I was just really closeted about it. So that's why I started it. And yeah, I just want to congratulate you again on your ninth year of broadcasting. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Did you ever think that you'd be doing it for this long?
I didn't think I would do such a thing at all, let alone for, no, absolutely not. No, I mean, it was just back then, there wasn't as much out there that people were sharing about Reiki. You know, there were some books from, you know, a few people here and there, but there, it just wasn't as accessible, community and just people having discussions about what their experiences were within this work and on the path. And so because of what I was experiencing personally when I first started practicing, I didn't have anyone to really bounce off ideas or thoughts or talk about these expressions. So I thought it would be good to start the podcast in case there were other people like me that were looking for community and just wanted to talk about the experience. And yeah, no, I never would have imagined that it would have turned into what it did.
But yeah, that's inspiring for me to hear too. Because I'm like, well, I told myself I was just going to do it as long as it stays, as it's fun for me.
Yes.
And so far it still is. But I've only been doing it for a year and a half. So we are coming out of lockdown, we, especially in this state, certain mandates have been lifted. And I've noticed over the past 2 years, and I wonder if you've noticed anything different between the clients pre-pandemic and during and post. Like, do you notice stress levels are different? Their energies, like, what do you notice that's different?
Yeah, points of focus seem to be different now. Actually, in a great way. I have to say, I mean, there's a difference in me too. I've been bi-coastal literally since the pandemic started. And even right now, as we are speaking, I'm in DC. So I haven't been in California that much in the last 2 years, but I'll be back very soon. But yeah, I've noticed that before, people may have had curiosity. And so, you know, they would kind of tiptoe into, what is this? Or I heard about this, someone recommended. And again, even people who just were curious for their own reason or wanting to learn more about healing, there was still some, I don't know, maybe like fear of judgment or what this all means, and right. still a little bit of fear around what am I getting into, even though I feel called to it. And since COVID hit, I think because of the level of stress that people were under, and because so many people were forced into huge changes in their lives, whether working from home or losing their jobs, whatever it was, people have come now into this work with more of an openness of like, I need this unapologetically, and give me all you got. Like, what can I learn? How do I implement this? What, it, you know, so I think there's much more of a, it seems like a hunger for ways to self-soothe, self-heal, just learning how to navigate these enormous changes that we've all been going through.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed, it just seems like the people that have come to me, their energy is just, it's just, they're going through so much. It just seems so much heavier than previously. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, what? And then some people are, you know, they're able to manage to do some of the work themselves, and they come in and it's like a cakewalk.
Yeah,
it's like doing Reiki for the first time. It's just like, oh, I'm just doing basic hand positions, and you know, and nothing like major being stirred up. So yeah, I've just wondered about that, how other people's are experiencing.
Yeah, now that you say it, another thing that comes to mind, a significant difference that I've noticed with people I work with, is prior to the pandemic, a lot of people would come in wanting to learn Reiki and these types of things for the purposes of helping others,
right.
You know, like wanting to become healers and, you know, starting their own practices, whatever that may be. Whereas now, on the other side of what has erupted for all of us, there seems to be, with a lot of people, more self-focus. Like, I realize I can't just extend myself to help everyone else. There's more of this realization of the importance of taking care of ourselves and working through what it is that we may be holding as well. So that to me is very exciting, because that's what I love to work with people on.
Awesome. Awesome. That's, yeah, that's, I have, you know, well, you have a, alchemy circle. I haven't taught any, cause I was doing in-person classes, and, I thought about doing, you know, doing them online. And I just, you know, I just felt not motivated to really. Mm-hmm. I kind of took that time off as well too, yeah. Which was, and you know, that's how this podcast was born. But anyway, so what were some of your techniques that you used to get through the pandemic, and then what made you bi-coastal? Are you from that area that you're in, or just the opportunity to see family? And
yeah, well, both. Sorry. Yes. Both. Yes. I am originally from DC, although, I mean, more than half of my life now at this point has been in California, but all of my family is here on the East Coast. And so Initially, what brought me back over here around the start of the pandemic was a funeral. And my intent was to stay here for 2 weeks, but it was very nurturing to be around my family, especially because I am 3,000 miles away. I visit maybe once a year. I don't ever spend a significant amount of time here with my family. And for whatever reason, I did. The first time I stayed for 7 months, and it was just what I needed. I just needed to be around my family at that time. And then I went back to California, and then unfortunately lost another friend, came back for another funeral. Yeah. And so it's just been that. But it has been very much a big part of my healing process. Like, I recognize, maybe because I'm getting older too, I don't know, 45 now, I'm like, maybe I appreciate family in a different way now, and because of what's been going on. So yeah, it's definitely for healing purposes, but enjoying it as well.
Mm-hmm. And then, so was that some of the, I guess, techniques or whatever to get you through the pandemic? I mean, you know, we were locked down and.
Yeah. You know, it was actually a combination of being here with family, one, which was very grounding for me. Mm. Especially because, again, I have no family in California. So, you know, it was nice to have that community of family where you really couldn't be exposed to anyone else at that point. But the other thing was, although I already had online classes available, the alchemy circle was really born out of the pandemic.
Oh.
And so, yeah, at the start of all of this, I was like, okay, I know that a lot of people are home now. They're just not knowing what to do with themselves, and probably more than ever just want to have support in their practice. And that's what inspired the alchemy circle. So I started offering online Zoom kind of classes in a sense, but it was more so guided practice.
Mm.
Like, for example, 1 month we met every single day to do Reiki in the morning. Yeah, Reiki May, I called it. But then it evolved into a community where we meet twice a week to practice different aspects of energy healing. So yeah, the pandemic brought that to life, and it's been fun.
That must have been so good for you too. I mean, getting practicing every day and like having that, I don't know if you consider yourself an introvert or extrovert, but just having that interaction.
Yes. Introvert, extrovert by force and necessity, but yeah, I'm very happy to be in my own little bubble. But I have to say, with the podcast and with, you know, the alchemy circle and other things that I've done just because of the nature of this work, I have enjoyed being forced out of that introverted, energy. It's been interesting.
And so talking about confidence, where did your confidence come in when you transitioned from, you know, going from corporate to taking your first Reiki class and then saying, you know what, I think I want to work with people? Like, how did that, tell us that story, and then where confidence came from to pursue this as your work?
Yeah, well, I worked for an international financial institution, and we got bought out. The division I worked for got bought out by another bank. And so I was either going to be laid off or transition to Texas. And I didn't want to do that. So I took my package and, you know, went on. But then at some point I started to feel very stressed and realizing like, I want to do something different. I don't know what I want to do with my life. But I started experiencing this level of stress and anxiety that I had never felt before. And so, you know, something in me told me to contact an astrologer that I had worked with 10 years prior. I made a session with her, and she was telling me about my chart and what was going on in my life at the time. And she was actually the one that recommended meditation and Reiki, a Reiki session as a way to help me alleviate stress, just so I could get more clear-minded about what direction I wanted to take. And I had never heard of Reiki. I'm very curious by nature. So I went home and Googled it and I was like, this sounds crazy. So I'm going to take a class instead of having a session. So I really was curious about what it was. And I thought, instead of just having someone do this thing to me, let me learn what it is. So I signed up for Reiki and meditation classes simultaneously, went into both. Both of them were amazing. I mean, I was amazed by what I was experiencing, what I was learning about myself. I didn't go into it with any expectation because I wasn't familiar with either thing. So I think that also was part of why I had confidence, because I had no expectation on myself. I was just literally curious. And I just thought it was all really fascinating. So what happened was, as I was practicing, I would ask my friends and family for distance sessions, but locally I would ask friends, can I practice what I'm learning on you? And because of what they would experience, they would start referring people to me. So my practice began really organically and not intentionally, you know, it just evolved into that. And again, I mean, I had nothing to lose. Like, to me, I was literally just learning and sharing what I was learning. So I had no pressure on myself to get it right, or I didn't even have a labeling on myself of like, I'm a healer and I have to help people. It was all very playful to me in some regard of just like, this is really cool stuff. Oh my God, I can't wait to share it with you. And so it was always fun. It just has always been fun to me from the beginning.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then once you like started your practice, and so I guess you didn't have any problem. I mean, you just said like you know, it was fun for you and like, oh, this is exciting, let me tell you about it. So that was not an issue when it, in terms of like marketing yourself to support yourself.
No, because I think one of the big things with me as well, I didn't feel like I had to convince anyone of anything. I really didn't care if you were interested or not. Like, it was like, I was that detached.
Wow.
So I think what it was I was just being, I was authentically sharing from direct experience. This is what I'm practicing on myself. This is what I'm practicing on my friends. This is what we're experiencing. And if you want to experience it, yeah, come, of course, you know. So I think it's funny, no one has ever asked me this question in 10 years of interviews. But I love it because I never thought about this really, but that had to be it. I mean, I really had no pressure on myself in that regard. But once it started becoming more of a formalized practice, then it was more of making sure that I didn't put those pressures on myself, because I didn't want to start not enjoying the work. And there was a period where, because, you know, when you are doing this work for yourself, you go through what some people call the dark night of the soul. You have your own stuff come up. And I was going through that while I was, you know, in the beginning stages of my practice. And so I went through a period where I was holding space for other people and then they would leave and I was in my ick, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I started to realize like, wait, I'm starting to feel resentment because I'm holding space for everyone else, but who's holding space for me, you know? And so that was more of a challenge for me. And the way I worked through that was also realizing I too can't just do my self-healing. I need to also reach out for support as well. So that was a good lesson. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just because it was never a goal to be a healer. And I still don't really even put that title on myself.
Right. That's just so, so fascinating to me. I love that. And then just for people who are you know, beginning their stages in healing and becoming a healer or becoming any type of esoteric practitioner, whether it be Reiki, energy healing, anything like that. Like what was, so when you, just if you can remember like the timeline between the time you took a Reiki class and then when you started actually like hanging up a sign, you know, like, this is what I do, this is what I charge.
Yeah, well, I will say I took several Reiki classes. I studied with, I think at minimum I've had 7 different Reiki teachers, and maybe 8. I have to sit down and write that down one day. But yeah, I that's how curious I was. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn from different lenses and perspectives. I would say it was at least a good year before I really started practicing on other people in a way where there was an exchange for it. Because I started practicing on friends right away. Right. But yeah, it was probably at least a year. And it was only, this is the thing, I realized in this community, a lot of people would struggle with, especially in the beginning, with taking money for services and taking money for the exchange. And I guess because I was still so corporate minded, I was like, what? Your time is valuable. What do you mean? And so like, from my point of view, I thought I invested a lot of money in the classes and the training for this work. I'm also dedicated to my healing so I can hold this space. And if I'm going to make the time to hold space for people to go through a process that will be very healing for them, like, yeah, that's worth it. It's valuable to me. So why wouldn't it be valuable to someone else? So that was a thing for me of, and having, you know, conversations with plenty of healers about it, because there was such the stigma around, oh, it's healing, it should be free. And like, that's lovely. It is. And don't get me wrong, I've done plenty of free, I still do. I mean, if someone needs energy work, I'm not going to be like, well, only if you can afford it. You know, I do a lot of things without any monetary exchange. I mean, the podcast for that matter is free if you want to learn from me, right? And that we pay for it. But the thing of I always have been have felt very deeply it's important for people who come into this work to honor the work that they're doing and honoring the time that they're taking to do this, and you know, even the investment they've made in the classes and the training that they've done. So yeah, you know, it's all mindset. And, you know, it's just one of those things of, are you going to allow yourself to go with the story over here? Or will you really look at, is this valuable to you? And if so, act like it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very slow journey. And I realized something, you know, when you were saying how it was, you know, you came, first of all, you know, there was just so much excitement and joy, which I totally had. And when I started this path, I never imagined that I would ever be doing it. Mm-hmm. Never saw myself doing that. But I think that's interesting that what you said about, you know, coming from the corporate world and like, what? Of course, like you're like saying that your time is valuable. And, you know, I mean, you know, this from, you know, speaking with, you know, other people in the healer community, healing arts community, that is such a big stickler. And I think part of that for me too, was being perceived as a snake oil salesman, you know, being perceived as that, like, well, you know, and just having other friends that were just, you know, having the same issue and just like, well, I don't think I should charge for it. So yeah, that's just so amazing to hear like your journey with this, with energy work and Reiki. And I kind of use them interchangeably, and how it, you know, it just wasn't an issue. Like, it sounded like an issue that came up was, you know, realizing like, oh, I need to not only I need to take care of myself by seeing mm-hmm. also someone else, because you can only do so much self-care
right.
until you need someone to also hold space for you.
Right.
You know, and that's super important.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I always tell people to consider when they're struggling with that, especially with the exchange, is, you know, what's your motivation in this? Like, so for me, at first, I had no intention of this being a business or, you know, having paying clients in this thing. But then when I started to recognize how much I was investing, I was paying a lot for very expensive mm. classes and retreats. I was paying for the podcast, which was free for the listeners. I was then investing in, you know, like website and newsletters. I started investing a lot in this. And I thought, well, the only way I can sustain this and continue to share is if there's an exchange.
Right.
So for me, like, I didn't feel bad about it because it felt like the beauty and the gift within the exchange was that I get to continue to share and show up. So, you know, also just considering it's not just, I mean, it literally gives you the opportunity to share with more people and in more ways and not be stressed on the background about just the things that we have to take care of day to day.
Right, right. Wow. I'm learning so much from that, from your that snippet of that gold nugget right there. And it just sounds like to me, it sounds like, because I know what my, you know, the problem for me was just low self-worth and low self-esteem mm-hmm. when it came to putting myself out there.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, marketing and like, hi, mm-hmm. and I still kind of have trouble with saying, you know, talking about Reiki and the work that I do after all these almost 20 years. And so I it feels like, would you say it's true that, you know, your sense of, self-worth was not low, that it was normal or high, and that your self-esteem was also high. It wasn't like, you know, I call it, a poverty line, you know, like mine mm-hmm. was like way below the poverty line. Mm-hmm. So it sounded like would you say that was true, that that you had a good sense of self-worth and self-esteem?
I think that's true for a lot of people that struggle with, you know, asking for the exchange. Even more than that, I think a lot of us are just so used to the idea that we get paid for a certain type of work. You know, like I could get paid to right. work for a corporation. I can get paid for a certain type of work. But I mean, you know, in these last few years, people becoming entrepreneurs in so many ways, whether business coaches, energy healers, we're kind of like the trailblazers of this in a way, and normalizing that, yes, this is also a path that is deserving of, like, I'm working. Like, I'm showing up right. to work, right? So I think there's the transition of that, of recognizing that it isn't necessarily yet collectively fully understood and appreciated and recognized as a valid form of work, you know, on a large scale. So I think there's the challenge of accepting that, being okay with it, but still forging ahead anyway. Another thing about it was, I think that I was okay with being perceived as weird. Mm. Like it was a challenge to try to explain this work to people at the beginning. And, but I was okay with, like, I didn't care if what you thought I did was weird. I mean, I'm an Aquarius, please. Like, yes, you can think I'm weird. It's okay. You know, I grew up with a mom that was also into odd day. I have no problem with what people consider weird. So I think that was an advantage to me. But one of the greatest gifts, Sharmila, was I was interviewed years ago, by another podcaster. And I didn't know at the time going in, but he was very skeptical of this work. And so the lens and how he approached the interview initially was almost questioning my integrity in a way. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking to my system because I had never had anyone do that directly before, not to mention it was going to be public, not to mention, I mean, he had a big podcast, right? So this was really, really going to be out there. And I had to really take a breath within that interview and think, wait a minute, what has my experience been with this? You know, so that someone challenging the validity of what I was doing or the authenticity of what I was doing was such a gift, because it pushed me further into realizing, yeah, my experience is valid. So I think that was the other thing that supported me in this too, in a enormous way, of just really accepting that. And that's why I tell other practitioners all the time, do you believe in it? What has your experience been? You know, even if someone doesn't agree, they think it's woo-woo, they think it's crazy, it's weird. Okay, great. What has your own experience been? Because if that's what you focus on, and that's where you speak from, and that's where you share from, you're telling the truth. You are 100% in your authenticity if you're speaking from what you have experienced. So, okay, you can question it if you want to. I still know what my experience has been. So that has been one of the things that has been very supportive to me, is always bringing it right back to, what has this work done for me?
Right. Yeah, that's usually what someone will say, like, what's your big why? Like, why are you, what's the reason that you're doing it? And yeah, that must, oh my God, that's,
I was sick. Like, my stomach was like, because the interview didn't post for like, say, like 2 weeks after he interviewed. So I was sick to my stomach because I completely had to sidestep. I didn't remember what I said. I didn't remember anything. So like, waiting for that to come out, I was on pins and needles. But the interview itself ended up going really well at some point. But yeah, that was an invaluable lesson.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine what that would have like put me under the rug in the closet, and I would have locked myself up. That would have been it. I'm like, okay, but you know, for, you know, that would have definitely stopped me. So thank you for not stopping.
And
for not, because yeah, there's always going to be somebody, you know, there's many people that will naysay what we do. And that's the, what's the important thing is like, well, you know, I have direct experience, and, you know, just with, you know, these past 2 years with science, and, you know, past 6 years with facts coming into question, is that, you know, science has a very particular way of measuring, and there's lots of studies, you know, on Reiki that kind of go both ways. And I just feel like, well, you know, I think it's catching up. And but what I was, why I was bringing up science is because direct experience is not part of the scientific method of research, you know.
Right.
But there's a lot to be said for direct experience, right? So
yeah, I mean, at one time we didn't understand gravity.
Right.
And I'm sure people had direct experience with that. You know, I mean, they did, but they didn't understand it. So, and that's the thing too. Like, I always think, one, so much of these philosophies, teachings, principles, I mean, they come from ancient cultures and civilizations. I mean, people have been practicing these methods under many different names and, you know, different expressions for forever. And then when you really sit back and look at what they're all pointing to, like what they're helping us to do, like to help free us from our suffering with our stories, our mind, our habits, our patterns, our stress level, all of these things. I mean, listen, science can prove it or not. I know that this helps me. And that's the thing. I mean, it really, and I hope that anyone, you know, anyone listening that might be in that space of feeling insecure about how do I convince people? You don't have to convince anyone. Be the expression of the practice. You know, people will notice in you, if you implement these tools and these practices on yourself, people will notice the change in you. And that in of itself is like proof in the pudding, you know? So yeah, don't worry about having to prove or justify. Just stay very true and authentic in your sharing, and be motivated by why it's important to you.
Right. Exactly. Couldn't have said it any better. So you mentioned that your mom was into certain, so that's what I wanted to ask you was, like growing up, did you notice that you had a sixth sense, that you had other experiences outside of your five senses. Just wondering, because
actually when I was very young, I used to see this like translucent woman in the kitchen at night, but you know, that was, I was very young at that time. But what was very impactful and terrifying for me was when I was a teenager, it started when I was around 15, I started having those experiences that they say is sleep paralysis. No, I don't know. It was much more than that. I mean, it was like, I could sense and feel energy, like when it would come in a room. I mean, to the point where like one time the door shook on its hinges. So it wasn't just sleep paralysis. I was experiencing a lot of heightened sensitivity around feeling energies, but I didn't understand it. Of course, I mean, it was terrifying. But I also was the person that, you know, always as a younger person would go places with my friends and just all of a sudden be like, I don't want to be here. Why? I'm like, oh, I don't like it here. Or I would meet someone and be like, just shut down. And my friends would be like, what? Just say, and I'm like, So I didn't understand why I had a certain reactions to different people in different environments. So honestly, I mean, once I came into energy work and started to really understand the impact of energy and how easily we can sense energy, it helped me tremendously to not be in fear of what I was feeling, but more so again, have more of a clear awareness. So for example, if I was around someone back then and they were dealing with stress or fear, I would have just felt bad energy, so to speak. Mm. And then I would have thought I didn't like the person. Whereas now, if I'm around someone and something feels off, there's more of that mindfulness of, well, what is it that I'm sensing, and not just automatically throwing it into the bad bin.
Right. Yeah. That's fascinating to hear that. You were giving me chills about the
sleep paralysis. We could do a whole show on that. That was terrifying. And people who have experienced it, they will tell you like, no, it's not the way that science describes it. Something else is happening. It's quite a situation.
So you don't experience that anymore?
I do, but now it's maybe once or twice a year.
Oh, wow.
Whereas for a period of time, it was happening almost every night. So, yeah.
So do you think, looking back on that, have you explored that through like hypnotherapy or just like kind of going back and meditating, and like, what was that energy? Was it like something like just trying, like curious about you, or something like a dark entity, or just what do you think?
Well, I never really asked too much about that experience specifically, but I've just assumed that's what it was, because now commonly I feel energies very easily around when I'm in meditation. Actually, make a very long story short, I got to a place where I started channeling. And so like, I feel energies around me. If I'm in session, it's oftentimes like sometimes even people's relatives that have passed away will come through. And I'm like, what? You know, and they're like, oh my God, that's so-and-so. So now I realize that I just have a certain type of receptivity where I am very aware of what may be around in a non-physical sense. And so, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh, well, I've always been open and receptive to this in some way. But now I just understand how to manage that, how to manage my own energy, and I'm no longer in fear. So it's just a different experience now. But I definitely think what I experienced in the past was a component of that.
So interesting, because that would have, you know, for many people that shuts them down,
right?
And they're not ever, you know, anything to do with, you know, ghosts or spirituality, you know, or the type of spirituality that you practice, and I feel like we probably practice the same thing, just coming from, you know, Reiki, they would totally like shut the door to that. Yes. So that's just amazing that, I don't know, did you? Cause maybe when you learned Reiki, that helped you understand those experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I was terrified. And especially because back then too, my grandmother, while my mother wasn't religious, my grandmother was. So to my family, like the ones that were religious, what I was experiencing, they all thought like, it's the devil. And I'm like, yeah, you know? So I mean, like when I first came into this work and was exposed to like tarot cards and things like this, I was like, no, that's going too far. Right. But now I'm creating my own deck. Like literally it's about to go to print. So yeah, one thing I've learned in this process that I appreciate so much is how much we are afraid of that we don't understand, and how much misinterpretation has been placed on a lot of this work and what it is that we do. And so when people don't understand it or are afraid, I don't take it any offense to it at all. I understand why they do, especially culturally. There's been a lot of fear framed around all of this type of work. So I'm so thankful that Reiki and meditation and these things have taught me not to fear what I don't understand, but instead to be open to understanding, especially because so much of what we are, well, everything that we're able to perceive is part of our design. You know, so people, if you are out there and you are sensitive to energies or you see things and it freaks you out, I mean, you're able to perceive these things because it's part of your design. And instead of being in fear, the better thing is to figure out, how do I understand what this is and how do I manage it in a way that it may actually support my life and my path?
Oh, such wise words, Yolanda. If only. I think about that, not just for, you know, these extraordinary extrasensory experiences. Yeah. And when I'm talking, when I say that, I mean psychic experiences, but also just, you know, delving into the things that you've been hurt by too, you know, just instead of like putting that in a box and shutting it way down and repressed, and it comes up later in forms of other, you know, that's just, such a wise and grounded way of, you know, reminding people that, you know, just to question that and have a curiosity, you know, when you're ready, obviously. We're not saying like, no, you got to do this right now. Yeah, this is the way you got to do it, you know, right?
No, because listen, if this were presented to me back, say when I was in corporate and I didn't need it, right? I would have thought it sounded insane. I would have been like, what are you talking? Even though I had very odd experiences, I would have probably completely been opposed to trying this, experimenting anything else. And so thankfully for me, I needed life to kind of smack me into a space of needing to find something that was going to help me understand me. And so that in of itself is what gave me the openness and the willingness to be curious, because I just simply wanted to feel better and figure out what I wanted to do with my life.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thankfully you did.
Thankfully. Yes. Who would have imagined?
I know. Right. Right. I'm right there with you. So this deck, yeah, I've seen in some of your previous interviews from the last fall that you were creating it. So it's almost to print. Are you ready for announcing a date? Maybe.
Well, I mean, literally today, when we're done with this interview, I have just a final few edits on the book. So the cards themselves and the box that they'll come in are already with the printer. That they're just waiting for the final edits on the book, which I'm submitting today. So after today, I will have more of a timeline. It'll be this spring. You know, it won't be more than a couple of months. So I can't even tell you how excited I am to be. I literally just started working with the artist on this project right before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this has been a very long project. And I am so thankful that it's finally ready.
Yeah. I would imagine it to be to come up with, you know, to have, I remember in an interview, you know, like translating what you saw in your head, these images, to the artist.
Yes.
And then I was thinking, yeah, because then you got to have a booklet for every one of these things and what it means, you know, like, what here's another question. This is going to I'll probably break this up into two parts, but like what, I'm just so curious, like how, I mean, I would imagine, you know, doing anything, any project like this, it, you know, I feel like even if it wasn't a pandemic, I mean, you know, 2 years is kind of a short period of time for, to work on something like this. So how did you go about and getting the words to correlate to the cards? Like, explain that process. I'm fascinated.
Well, it's so funny. I'm so glad to hear you say like 2 years is nothing, because I really thought like, oh, I'll have this done in a year. Like,
that's what I thought, truly
I had no idea that it would be I don't know what I was thinking, and then throw the pandemic on top of it. But I was like, I'll be done with this in a year. So the one thing was surprising to me, so this was a process. One, of course, I had to come up with how many cards I was going to have in the deck, and then what the keywords were going to be for all of the cards.
Right.
And because at, you know, this point I've studied tarot and oracle, I wanted a deck that was really like a combination of both. So this deck has 74 cards, but 22 of them are inspired by the major arcana. So those 22 cards was kind of like, oh, you know, it's kind of easy because they are inspired by cards that already exist. So I came up with what basically the layout of the deck, what the card meanings are, the keywords on the card. But then once I found an artist, it was so exciting because I'd never worked with one before. So just even going through the process of giving her, and it was all through email because she lives in Philadelphia. So I would email her and say, okay, this is what the name of the card is. This is the image I want. This is, and then she would shoot back to me like, okay, well, what ethnicity is this person? And what colors are in this card? And what other, I was like, oh, the detail of it all. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So that working with the artist was so much fun. And I just would have never imagined like the level of detail of what I had to express to her. And so that was exciting. That was the fun part. And the artwork took about a year.
Well, that's not bad, and then, for 72 images. Wow, that's
74,
amazing.
74, yeah. Oh, she was amazing. And somewhere within there, she was also pregnant. And so I couldn't believe. She was just phenomenal. But the hardest part was the book, because then it was, okay, well, I want to give some interpretation of the card, but I don't want to over-explain because I want to leave room for your intuition. Mm-hmm. And what you perceive from this card. So yeah, the book has been probably the most challenging part of the process, but we're about to button that up today.
Yay. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So are you putting it like in local stores or selling it on your website, or how are you?
Yeah. So I'm going to sell it through the website. I'm calling this the first edition because I don't know what will happen after this. But it'll be directly through my website, and mainly because I looked at channels of, you know, other like even online retailers, and they just take so much of a percentage, and I had to, you know, there's a huge investment, you know, right. like not just the printing, but an artist and all the things that, yeah. So I was like, well, I better do this directly and then we'll see what happens after that.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh my God. That's, I can't wait to, I can't wait to purchase them and play with them. So you mentioned a lot of things about confidence and ways to build it. And I just always end my podcast with, I mean, not to make it sound redundant, but just to kind of recap, what would your be some parting words of wisdom for building confidence in yourself as a healer and putting yourself out there to have a business?
Definitely practice. Practice. Because I think one of the biggest things that make us doubt ourselves or lack confidence in this work is wondering if we're good enough. If we're good enough, if we're going to do a good enough job, all of these. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, and And I think a lot of it comes from the space of, we just genuinely want to do a good job. Like, we really want to help you and support you. And, you know, we have all these expectations. So I think one of the first things is definitely practice your practice. Be just really dedicated to showing up and working through your stuff. Because again, that's going to give you a direct point of reference and authentically sharing why this is beneficial or how it can support others, because you'll see how it supported you. So you can be more confident in that. But another thing is to work through the fear anyway. And at the very least, start practicing on friends and family, even if you don't take money. Just force yourself into practicing on others just to see how to overcome the fear, but look for the fun in it. One of the things I would say that helped me, because there was a time when I first learned and I was trying to do Reiki. Mm-hmm. I was trying. I was like, is this even working? Are these things on? Are my hands working? I don't know. And it was this one session where I finally was just like, ugh, I don't care. Like, I literally was just like, whatever, I'm putting my hands in. It was the most amazing session I ever had. And so that taught me stop trying. Just be an observer of the energy. So if anything, practice, but also give yourself that, like, surrender, trust the energy, let the energy be your teacher. Get yourself in like a meditative state and then just think like, I'm just holding space. I'm just a vessel and I'm just going to observe and see what you learn, see what you experience. And that also takes the pressure off of you having to do, like, just let the energy do.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of extra time today with us. Thank you. I did too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy with the wisdom that you gave, and I'm taking away some really good nuggets. So thank you.
On behalf of
myself and my listeners. So you can go to, you can, this will all be in the show notes. You can go to theenergeticalchemist.com, and I will not spend my time spelling that out. It's in the show notes, people. Theenergeticalchemist.com. You can follow her on Instagram, Reiki Radio, on Facebook at Tea Reiki, like drinking tea, T-E-A. And she also has a YouTube channel, Reiki Radio Podcast. And you can listen. Can they access, can people access your podcast through the Energetic Alchemist?
If you go to the website, there's a podcast page and you can access it from there. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. And then look out for her. What's the name of your deck?
The Energetic Alchemist Oracle, of course.
Of course, of course, of course. So be on the lookout for The Energetic Alchemist, which you can find on theenergeticalchemist.com in a few months and soon. So thank you again. Thank you so much. Warm hug. Goodbye.
This was such a pleasure. I loved it so much. And thank you for the work you're doing. And how you're sharing, because we need more of it. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Yolanda, veteran podcaster. And thank you all for listening. My name is Sharmila Mali. This is the Confident Healer Podcast, and we will see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. You can find information about the guest or any links I referenced in the show notes. And would you help me grow the show by doing these two things? One, sharing the podcast with someone that you think needs to hear it. And two, supporting the podcast by becoming a patron and giving monthly or make a one-time generous donation. It helps me grow the show and I can just focus on making great episodes for you. You can listen, find the show notes, and the PayPal link to donate all in one convenient location, theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.